the way this project got started was one day I was writing an introduction to a paper on salt lakes. And I was studying one salt lake on the Llano Estacado. And I wanted to count all the salt lakes on the Llano Estacado. And as I began to go around with geological maps and find these salt lakes, I started to have a question as to whether they were actually on the Llano Estacado or whether they were off the Llano Estacado. So I decided I needed a map of the Llano Estacado that was pretty well agreed upon in the geographical world. So I contacted a colleague of mine at Texas Tech University who's an expert in GIS and said, where do I download this file that shows the Llano Estacado's boundaries? He says, it doesn't exist. And it was in an email, and he put a little smiley face after it and said, you might want to do it yourself. So anyway, I think the smiley face was really designed. It was kind of a mocking thing. He never really expected me to do it, since this is so far outside of my normal field. But anyway, I began this project, and around the same time, I was told that there was a student from Prairie View A&M who I was going to mentor that summer. So this is Benita Hodge. She played a major role in this project, and she's a undergraduate. She came up, and she actually ended up spending two summers with me, and we worked together on this project. My other co-worker was BL. BL found out that we were working on this project, and he just had to be part of it. And so we went on a number of field trips together looking for the edge of the Llano Estacado, and this is on one of those trips. And you'll notice that in BL's hand there, he's holding a soil survey, of course. Now, the Llano Estacado, of course, I think most people in this room probably know a lot about it, but just in case. It's in the southern part of the Great Plains. One of the features of this Llano Estacado is it's very flat. Of course, no natural surface can be absolutely flat. But in the case of the Llano Estacado, it's pretty damn flat. The other feature on the Llano Estacado is there are a lot of playa lakes. So when you're looking from these images, especially these from the shaded relief maps, you can see these playa lakes, and they're real indicators that you're on the Llano Estacado. When you get off the cap rock, there's a lot of streams, flowing streams, and you can really see that difference. So what we decided to do, I'll tell you about what we did later. One of the other features about the Llano Estacado, of course, are the escarpments, which run around the edge and really define where the Llano Estacado is in most places. And I have a few pictures here. This is in Garza County. This is in Linn County. And this is in New Mexico, just south of Tucumcari. No, San Juan. And in places like this, it's well-defined. The scarp breaks very dramatically. And so you have a well-defined boundary. And this is what people have used when they've made maps in the past. Now I'm going to go through some of the historical maps of the Llano Estacado. Starting with Alexander von Humboldt. He was in Mexico working for the nation of New Spain. He made a map of pretty much North America. But he never actually visited Texas or the Llano Estacado at this point when he made this map. But he had all the resources from Spain and all the libraries in Mexico City, and he put together a map of Mexico and parts of Texas. And you can see here what's interesting about this. Can I point? Oh yeah. We have the Guadalupe Mountains kind of thrown in here. We have a little river here, which he labeled Rio Puerco. And we have the Rio Grande. Now, along the Rio Grande, there's pretty good detail. Everything's mapped. It's pretty well populated. You go down to the coast, it's pretty well known. When you come up here to the Llano Estacado, you have a blank spot. At this time, really, it was a no-man's land. No one lived there. Indians kind of traversed across it. There was no water. So it was a very inhospitable place. and not many people knew much about it. In 1844, Josiah Gregg wrote a book. He was an explorer, a trader. He used to make many trips across into New Mexico from Texas. And he made this map of the Llano Estacado. And roughly, it has the right shape. It has some things that are correct. It has the Canadian River. It's got the Rio Grande, the Pecos. And then it has a number of the rivers like the Brazos and the Colorado starting along the edge of it. So it's not a bad job for 1844. He also has up here arid tableland, which I love. Robert T. Hill, a famous geologist, one of the premier geologists of Texas, especially in the lower Cretaceous, he made this map based upon some work that was done by the Texas Geological Survey. And it's not a bad map for that period, 1890. This was also one of his co-workers, William F. Cummins, who created this nice map of the Llano Estacado and has a lot of things that are pretty good. Notice here there's not a very definite cutoff at the bottom, but he did a good job along here, and it's not a lot of detail on this side. In his notes, he said that when they got to this point, it became so sandy they couldn't get their wagons through there, so they had to retreat toward the Pecos River, on the other side of the Pecos River. And they would just use like a spyglass to look at the Caprock escarpment way off. And that's how they did their mapping on this side. So you don't see a whole lot of detail. This is one of my favorite maps of the Llano Estacado, 1901 by Willard D. Johnson in his paper on the High Plains and their utilization. He did a map of the entire Great Plains, but this is just cropped to show the Llano Estacado. And you got to remember, at this time in 1901, the airplane hadn't been invented, so this beautiful aerial-type view with the shading and all is really nice, I think. And then there was Guy Harold Smith. Some of you might be familiar with the Finneman book on the physiography of the Western United States. He did all the illustrations for that book, and they had really beautiful little sketches of the Llano Estacado. And then there's Erwin Reyes. Another, you know, that's kind of cartoonish looking, but it's pretty accurate. And of course, Vance Holliday, who's here in the audience, is probably the most accurate map of the Llano Estacado. And you notice that there's a few places here along the Portales Valley, there's the Seminola Valley, and the Winkler Valley, where there is no escarpment, and so the boundary is kind of indefinite, and he just kind of left that open. And down here at the bottom, there's no real definite boundary there, but it's a very good map. And we looked at this map quite a bit while we were doing our work. Okay, now we talk about our map. We basically imported this shaded relief map into a GIS ArcMap. We inserted a polynomial, and of course you can click on the polynomial and create little nodes, and you can bend those nodes around, and we eventually stretched this polynomial around so that it matched what we saw from these shaded relief maps. And then we embarked on a number of field trips. We did 12 altogether, where we would drive out to the edge of the Caprock with a handheld GPS, or we just used one in the car, and we would click, you know, get a point, and we'd bring it back and check to see if our boundary was correct. Sometimes we didn't. I put that or not at the end because sometimes we would come back and we'd find that all our points landed directly on our line that we had established. So this is the map that we created. You can see the little dots. These are the points where we did actual ground truthing field trips to see if we got it correct. The trouble areas are the same areas that Vance Holliday probably had. We're with the Portales Valley, the Seminola Valley, and the Lomax, Lake Lomax Basin was something that we argued over. And BL and I got to know BL pretty good during this process. And I know that politically we don't agree on a lot of things. And I think in terms of the Lake Lomax, whether that should be on the Llano Estacado or off, I don't think we'll ever agree on that either. But what we decided on this was that even though there's kind of a little basin that flows outward, that we decided to keep the Lake Lomax Basin as a feature within the Llano Estacado rather than outside. So anyway, that was our map. The other thing up here where we had some trouble is we decided to use this criteria in terms of drawing this boundary. If you move farther to the west here, then all of the streams, even though they don't flow all the time, but they're very intermittent streams, they will flow toward the Pecos River Valley. If you move a little bit farther to the east here, then all of the streams tend to flow into closed basins. So we use that as our dividing line. Wherever the flow was toward the Pecos River Valley, we consider that off the Caprock. And same with the Seminola Valley down here. And I would say that probably the same thing down here at the Winkler Valley, though I don't have that listed. So anyway, and then our other problem area was down here. And you'll notice that, you know, that Johnson, he had this little foot at the bottom separated, and we have ours connected. But you can actually see there's a little a channel right here that flows outward, that kind of, but it doesn't continue all the way to here, so we kept it connected. So anyway, that's here's another picture of our map with just the towns on there. Some of you are familiar with this area, and if you can read those, you can kind of see exactly, you know, where our boundary lies. Our conclusions, you know, a fundamental problem in any project. You cannot say what is the crop production on Llano Estacado. You can't say what the population of the Llano Estacado is unless you define what is the Llano Estacado. Because otherwise, one field or various groups of people may not be within the boundaries of the Llano Estacado. So it's a problem in regional geography that you have to define the boundary. And we've defined one that where every point on our map is a geo-reference so that you can put this boundary on any map that you have in any type of ArcGIS type program. And you can decide whether something's on the Caprock or off the Caprock. And of course, I just wanted to say that I don't expect this to be the last effort ever in terms of creating a boundary for the Llano Estacado. But I think we have made some progress. And I was going to compare here the Greg actually in his book, he actually mentions that the Llano Estacado is about 30,000 square miles. And Hill also in his paper mentioned it was 50,000. And then as you move down here, they start to switch to square kilometers. But I'm going to include both here. And you can see these are all the published estimates that are different. There's a lot of people that just copy each other, you know, say, well, this guy said this. But these are like original estimates here. And if you look at the bottom here, this is our estimate. You can see that our estimate tends to be right in the middle of what most people have come up with. And in fact, it's very close to what Greg in 1844 guessed it was, which I find amazing. So anyway, the question is, have we made any progress from 1844 to today? And that's all I've got.
We have time for one question for John.
Man, I was afraid of this. Well, the Caprock is more of a vernacular term. It's kind of like West Texas. There's no real, but it's just kind of a slang term that most people who live on Llano Estacado, they don't want to say Llano Estacado all the time. And by the way, it's not Llano Estacado for people from East Texas.